You are now listening to the All Gas and No Brakes radio show from Indianapolis, the city of motorsports. Good morning, race fans, and welcome back to the All Gas and No Brakes radio show. I'm your host, Layden Nelson, a.k.a. Big Nelly. Always joining me is Hank Williams Jr.'s long-lost relative, Jeremiah Penrod. How are you doing this morning, sir?
The beard is coming back.
Yeah.
And we're doing pretty good.
Good deal.
We're actually awake mostly this morning.
Yeah, he's excited. We're ready. Yeah. And ladies and gentlemen, I don't think this is going to be my last episode of the All Gas and No Brakes radio show, but I do have a dilemma and a time conflict because this is my final week of high school. This is it. Final week at Decatur Central High School. And possibly my last week here at the Area 31 Career Center, depending on the scheduling conflicts coming next week with, you know, all the preparations before graduation, the graduation walk rehearsal, you know, that type of stuff. So, but yeah, I'm excited, man. I'm really excited. We have a lot of racing news to discuss. It is currently 7:54 a.m. here in Indianapolis, Indiana, and you are listening to the All Gas and No Brakes radio show. Okay, I'm going to stop talking about the weather and myself, and let's just get straight down to business here. The Sasino Grand Prix from the Indianapolis Motor Speedway at the Indy Road Course was last Saturday. Picking up the win was two-time NTT IndyCar Series champion, defending champion Alex Palou. There's a coincidence here, Jeremiah. There's a coincidence with Alex Palou winning at the Indy Road Course because last season, his first win of the season came at the Indy Road Course, and he went on to win the championship later in the season in dominating fashion.
Could this be one of those little circles?
Yep. Could it be?
A little circles that go around.
Could this possibly be Alex Palou's season to win back-to-back championships and become a three-time champion?
I mean, that would be awesome.
Yeah, that'd be
awesome for him.
Hey, he's starting off the month of May right, winning the Indy Road Course. This brings a lot of momentum to Alex Palou's team and Chip Ganassi Racing because, as we saw last season, Alex Palou winning at the Indy Road Course, that momentum paid off going into Speed Weeks for the Indianapolis 500. Qualified on the pole, led a ton of laps in the Indianapolis 500 until he was wrecked on pit road by Rinus VK. And that car was so fast that after that damage and all the issues on pit road, he came back to finish in the top five. I believe fourth, I'm pretty sure. So if there were more cautions in the race and especially later down the stretch of the Indianapolis 500 last year, Alex Palou could have possibly pulled off one of the greatest drives in Indianapolis 500 history. So we'll see. Maybe this can lead to Alex Palou's momentum going forward into the Indianapolis 500. Second was Will Power for Team Penske. Very consistent to start off this season. I believe that is his third second-place finish of the season. He won the championship in 2022 based on consistency. He only had one win, but my golly, he was so consistent. They've got it figured out, man.
I mean, that's something you gotta wish for in a driver is all the consistency of them.
Yeah, exactly. That 12
hopefully,
team.
Hopefully it's a winning consistency and not a losing
exactly.
consistency. But
which Will Powers, he's been doing very well this season. It's not an if he's going to win this season. It's a win he's going to win this season. A win and win. You like that, Jeremiah?
I do enjoy a little bit of the dad jokes.
Yeah. So it's not an if. It's a win. Will Power win his first race of the season. Third was Christian Lundgaard. Great result for Ray Hall Letterman Lanigan. Fourth, the Iceman Scott Dixon, another driver that comes to mind when you're talking about consistency. And we're going to talk about championship standings later after we get through this top 10. Fifth, Marcus Armstrong, The New Zealanders with Scott Dixon and Marcus Armstrong finishing the top five for Chip Ganassi Racing. And Alex Plow as well. He had three cars in the top five. That's pretty impressive. Sixth, Scott McLaughlin started farther in the pack. Great result there. Won last weekend. Actually, not last week, the weekend before at Barber Motorsports Park, I should say. Great result for him. Seventh was Colton Herta, and he went through some adversity this weekend. We're going into qualifying, I believe. He's a fast 12, and Colton Herta runs out of fuel in qualifying. So he has to start all the way in the back, and I believe like 20th to 22nd starting position. He started in the back. Like he was in the back of the pack. So, I mean, a consistent result, finishing seventh. I mean, if that's going to be his worst result of the season, that's superb, because he's been very consistent this season as well. Hasn't picked up that first win yet of the season. It's kind of like a willpower scenario. It's not if, it's when Colton Herta will win this season. Eighth was Alexander Rossi. Great result for Arrow McLaren. They really need a great result after the few weekends they've had to start the season. Ninth, Graham Rahal. Two Rahal Letterman Lanigan cars finishing in the top 10. And rounding out the top 10 is Felix Rosenquist from Meyer Shank Racing. Great result for that group. We're going to go to the championship standings here. Alex Plow is leading the championship by 12 points over Will Power. Third is Scott Dixon. Fourth, Colton Herta. And Scott Dixon and Colton Herta are tied on points with 127 apiece. And they're only 25 points behind championship leader Alex Plow. This is how tight the championship standings are so far in the NTT IndyCar Series. Fifth, Felix Rosenquist. Sixth, Scott McLaughlin. Seventh, Pato O'Ward. Eighth, Kyle Kirkwood. Ninth, Christian Lundgaard. And tenth, Alexander Rossi. Ladies and gentlemen, the 108th running of the Indianapolis 500 is in 13 days. I'm so excited. I cannot wait. You know, I feel like a kid on Christmas morning or a kid going in a candy store. That's that type of feeling and joy and passion, and you know, just get you excited.
Or me walking through the Lego section of most any store.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I'm never
going to be able to buy most of these.
Exactly.
But it's fun to dream.
It's fun to dream. It's so cool. No, but in all seriousness, the passion I have for the Indianapolis 500 and IndyCar and Indianapolis Motor Speedway.
He's visibly shaking with excitement.
I know, I am. It just gives me goosebumps. It just, you know, it lights up your soul. It gets your heart pounding. It gets you so excited, pumped up. I'm so pumped up. I'm so excited. I cannot wait to watch the Indianapolis 500. Shout out to Mama Nelly. We'll be going to the Indianapolis 500 this year. And my prediction to win the Indianapolis 500, say it right now, Joseph Newgarden is going to turn things around from all the controversy to start the season with being disqualified at the St. Petersburg race, that win being stripped away.
That was not the greatest of calls.
Nope. But I believe Joseph Newgarden is going to get his season back on track with winning the 108th running of the Indianapolis 500. That's my prediction. I'm going with it. That's it. So, yeah, 108th running of the Indianapolis 500 is in 13 days, May 26th, people. Here is the race schedule for the Indianapolis 500. Practice 1 will be May 14th at 9 o'clock a.m. Practice 2 is May 14th at 1 o'clock p.m. Practice 3 is May 15th at 2 o'clock p.m. Practice 4 is May 16th at 12 o'clock p.m. Practice 5 is May 17th at 12 o'clock p.m. Practice 6 is May 18th at 8:30 a.m. Qualifications day 1 is May 18th at 11 a.m. Practice 7 is May 19th at noon. You can watch all the practices and qualifications day 1 on Peacock. And now we're going to talk about qualifications for the top 12. This will be aired on NBC May 19th at 3:05 p.m. Bump day, qualifications, last chance, May 19th, 4:15 p.m. Qualifications, Firestone Fast 6, May 19th, 5:25 p.m. You can watch that on NBC. Practice 8, May 20th, 1 o'clock p.m. And then the final practice, a.k.a. Carb Day, May 24th, 11 o'clock a.m. You can watch both those events on Peacock. And then the greatest spectacle in racing, May 26th at 12:38 p.m. I'm not sure how accurate these times are. This is what I'm going off of the IndyCar app, so we'll see. We will see. Oh, legal time, people. Got to get that legal in. You're listening to WBG FM HD1 Indianapolis. You're listening to All Gas and No Brakes Radio Show with your host, Landon Nelson, and co-host Jeremiah Penrod. Just talking about some Indianapolis 500 news. But, yeah, let's dive in to some NASCAR news, people. What a weekend for the NASCAR Cup Series. They put on a show yesterday.
Darlington.
The track too tough to tame. The Lady in Black. And Brad Keselowski snaps a 110 race winless streak, picks up his 36th career win in the NASCAR Cup Series.
It was a matter of time.
It was a matter of time. I don't think it gets more old school, nostalgic, and throwback than the six car being in victory lane with the Castro. You know, remember the 80s, 90s, old school rally Castro cars with that paint scheme? Yeah. I don't think it gets more throwback than that, especially the six car finally being back in victory lane with that number being so famous due to the legacy driven by Mark Martin. Mm-hmm. So it's only a matter of time. People are going to go over the top 10. Second was Ty Gibbs. Great result for him. Third, Josh Berry picks up his first top 10 of the season in a top 5 for Stewart Haas Racing. They had some pace yesterday. Great long-run cars. They seem to capitalize on other drivers' mistakes, and Josh Berry picking up a third place.
Denny Hamlin seemed to drop himself a little bit. Yeah, he's still top five.
It was really surprising. Yeah. He had led a lap at Darlington for the past few years until Sunday.
Yeah.
It was like a consecutive streak of laps led at Darlington. Fifth, Chase Briscoe, the kid from Mitchell, Indiana. Great result for
nicely done. Top
the 14
five.
Crew and Stewart Haas Racing. Sixth, William Byron. His paint scheme being thrown back to Jeff Gordon, the Exalta. It was the Exalta paint scheme where it was, I believe it was 2014-ish with the orange and black. Seventh, Darrell Wallace Jr. Eighth, Alex Bowman. Alex Bowman picking up a great result, throwing his paint scheme back to Jimmy Johnson with the Lowe's paint scheme. Ninth, Justin Haley. Great result for Rick Ware Racing and another Indiana native. It's just, I guess, was a great weekend for Indiana native drivers in the NASCAR Cup Series with Chase Briscoe and Justin Haley. But what a result for Rick Ware Racing. They really needed it. Their program starting to come on strong with the alliance of Stewart Haas Racing. They're making strides, and it's just a feel-good story. And rounding out the top 10,
Michael McDowell,
which we have some news discussed about Michael McDowell, which we'll dive into later.
Is he apologizing for Talladega?
No, it's bigger than that.
Oh.
But I'd like to go over...
Is he petitioning for new chassis and IndyCars?
No, it's I don't know if it's as big as that, but it's pretty big news. Important news, I should say.
Those are my two things.
It's all good.
I don't know why I focus on, but
it's all good. Two drivers that were very competitive all the race long, especially towards the later stages of the race, were Chris Buescher and Tyler Reddick. Chris Buescher finishing 30th. And Tyler Reddick finishing 32nd. This was due.
It's a shame.
Yeah, this was. Yeah, if this. I mean, this was probably one of the greatest Darlington races I have ever seen. I mean, it was. Okay, so caution comes out. Brad Keselowski's leading. He passed Tyler Reddick due to a lap car being in the way. Brad Keselowski's car is better on the long run. Passes him. They come down pit road, and Tyler Reddick regains the lead because he has the first pit stall, and the first pit stall at Darlington is so crucial, especially getting on and getting off pit road with time made up and just the time comparison between the driver in second place and where their box is, and you and that driver having the first pit stall. I mean,
very, very important.
These small little tenths and seconds are so crucial with drivers picking up spots on the pit road at Darlington, especially the race leader with the number one pit stall. He could have a slower pit stop than the driver in second place, but has that number one pit stall, gets off. It's so darn close. But wow. Anyways, let's get back to my story here. And final restart of the race, I mean, Brad Keselowski and Tyler Reck are duking it out. And Brad Keselowski's, he's holding his own on the bottom of the racetrack, and that is not the predominant line at Darlington Raceway. That topside carries so much momentum, but he is a thorn in Tyler Reddick's, I mean, side drafting him. Jeremiah, I mean, he was on the bottom for 5 to 6 laps, just absolutely duking it out. I mean, they were side by side, door to door. I mean, they made contact a few times. Brad Keselowski tries to send it on Tyler Reddick, and they make contact, and Chris Buescher's riding in third. He's gaining a ton of momentum because these two are just duking it out, making up time. Tyler Reddick and Brad Keselowski make contact. Here comes Chris Buescher, has the run of his life, carrying that momentum down the front straightaway, three wide, takes the lead. Hey, Darlington, oh, it gets even more interesting. And here comes Tyler Reddick. He's coming back. Brad Keselowski falls back to third. Reddick is just ripping the top. I mean, he is flying. The pace difference between the 45 and 17 car, that 45 car is just so fast. Well, we're coming to, I don't know, 5 laps to go or so. And Reddick, he's trying. He's trying so hard to get past Chris Buescher. Well, finally has a chance when he gets this momentum going into turn number 3. Goes all the way down to the bottom, and then they make contact. Well, this contact with Tyler Reddick and Chris Buescher was a lot worse compared to Brad Keselowski and Tyler Reddick's contact.
A little bit more slip and slide.
Yeah, Chris Buescher and Tyler Reddick both cut tires, have to go down pit road, and Brad Keselowski ends a 110 race winless streak and picks up his 36th career win at Darlington Raceway.
Honestly, he got really lucky.
He was catching him, though. He was catching. But, I mean, it's Darlington. You got to do what you got to do to win one of NASCAR's crown jewel races.
The race demands the sacrifice.
Exactly. Exactly. Well, Jeremiah and I are going to step away for a little over a minute for this Brad Keselowski interview that aired on Fox and was done by Regan Smith. We're going to step away here, and I hope you guys enjoy the interview.
Well, Brad Keselowski ends a 110 race winless streak. You get your 36th career victory, Brad, but this is the first one driving for a company with your name on the side of it. How special is that?
What a heck of a day. It's Darlington, so whether it's your first win, your last win, it's just a really special track. It's the history of NASCAR. It's as tough as it gets. And then that battle at the end with my teammate, Tyler Reddick, and I, we're just all laid it all out on the line. It was freaking awesome. I thought I couldn't get much better in Kansas. It did today. That was awesome. I'm so glad you guys got to see that. That was incredible. Thanks for being here. We did it. Just really great.
34 laps to go, Brad. You've mentioned that battle with Tyler Reddick. You lost control of the race at that moment. Did you think it was all over with at that point?
I mean, it wasn't good, but I knew that I'd have another shot at it. My car was really good on the long runs. And when Tyler got underneath Chris, I knew I had another shot at it. When they made contact and I couldn't get by, I'm like, oh. And I must have got a flat tire. I don't know what happened. And we caught a break. You know, we've caught enough bad breaks over the last, you know, year or two. It's nice to catch a good one.
Brad Keselowski wins on Mother's Day weekend in Darlington.
Yeah. Jeremiah, what are your thoughts?
I think he deserved it.
Exactly.
He did. He's done a really good job so far. Like you said, had 110 race lose streak. And or not lose, but
winless. Yep.
I think it's a nice little bit for him.
Yeah, they
and he seemed really excited about it.
Exactly. In the interview, I thought this was the most heartwarming and beautiful thing I've ever seen. Well, one of them at least. Especially just interviews where professional athletes, their children are in the interview, and they pick up their children, give them a big hug and kiss. And Brad Keselowski has two daughters. He was holding both of his daughters during that interview, and he's just excited. I think it's just one of those heartwarming and most beautiful moments a family can have, especially if you're a professional athlete.
And yeah.
Your dad just...
You get to share that moment with him.
Exactly. Your dad just won one of the toughest tracks on the NASCAR calendar and one of the crown jewels in NASCAR, and you're able to celebrate it with him there. So I thought that was pretty awesome. Also, it was Ford's first win of the season, all of NASCAR. So Ford is coming on strong as of late, and
Brad actually had quite a few cars in the top 10.
Yeah, exactly. And
it was not Chevy's day. They had two?
Yeah, or hardly any Toyota's day. I can go back and check this out.
I think there was a few more, or like one or two more Toyotas.
There were, I'm trying to count.
There's here. One, two, three, four, five.
There's five Fords
in the top 10.
Yep, so that's incredible. That is incredible. Ford is starting to come on strong, people.
Three Toyotas and two Chevys, yeah.
Exactly. So it's Ford's day.
I was right.
Attaboy. It's Ford's day here at Darlington Raceway. They're starting to come on strong. But what Brad Keselowski has done with the Roush Fenway Racing program is spectacular. He took a chance on himself, leaving a championship-winning organization in Team Penske. He won a championship with them. All of his wins were with Team Penske. Comes to Roush Fenway and becomes a part-time owner. I should say part owner, not part-time owner, but part owner.
Really quick, what would a part-time owner be?
Would it be like
an owner, but like you work part-time?
I don't
hours
know. Like you
get
might
like part-time
you might,
pay from
I don't
it
know. I have no idea, but. Brad Keselowski has turned that program around. The cars are more competitive. Chris Buescher has won three times in the past 2 years. Unbelievable what Brad Keselowski has done. And Brad Keselowski had to wait, and he saw the 17 group. They were having their success, and they were celebrating in victory lane and having themselves a day. Well, the 6 crew had it rough for these past 2 seasons, especially, I'm even going to say 2024 as well as 2023, with 2023 multiple second place finishes. And Brad Keselowski came close a few times a season to already winning, and it's just, it's unbelievable. And that 6 crew finally got some luck, and they're able to celebrate in victory lane, and finally, the 6 car's back in victory lane. I might have to buy a T-shirt now of Brad Keselowski's win at Darlington, because that 6 car's, it just means a lot to myself and my family, because my Uncle Don's a Mark Martin fan. My Nina's is a Mark Martin fan.
I guess what we're saying is it's been a long time coming.
Yeah, exactly. We're going to move on here. We're not really in a rush here, but we're just going to get through the news here. Michael McDowell. Some silly season news regarding him. He will be signing a multi-year contract with Spire Motorsports and will start driving for Spire in the number 71 Chevrolet in 2025.
Okay.
Already having some silly season news. Michael McDowell talked about how he wanted long-term security with a team, long-term security with a job. He finally has the opportunity, and I think Spire Motorsports is getting themselves a driver with what Michael McDowell has done these past few years with a next-gen car. Unbelievable. I mean, he has turned his whole career around.
And everyone else at Talladega. Dang it!
That was good. I was. I knew that was coming. I said he turned.
Dang it!
He turned his season around.
I tried. I tried to stop myself.
It's okay,
but I couldn't.
It's okay, but you're not wrong. He did turn everyone around. I mean, he technically did, but like, that was pretty funny. But jeez. All in all. I don't know with the silly season rumors with Spire Motorsports. Zane Smith currently drives the number 71. Is he being kicked out of his ride and being replaced by Michael McDowell? And is Zane Smith going to go back to a familiar team with Front Row Motorsports and drive for them the NASCAR Cup Series? That's the team where he won his NASCAR Craftsman Truck Series championship with. Or is it going to be Carson Osovar who's kicked out and booted from his ride, and Michael McDowell replaces that car?
Maybe. Hear me out.
Yep.
They're switching places.
Who knows? Here we go. We're going to dive into the NASCAR Xfinity Series results from Darlington. Justin Allgaier picking up his third win at Darlington Raceway. First win of the season in dominating fashion. Second, Austin Hill. Third, Cole Custer. Fourth, Sam Mayer. Fifth, Eric Almirola. Sixth, Parker Kligerman. Seventh, Riley Herbst. Eighth, Jesse Love. Ninth, Sheldon Creed. And 10th, Brandon Jones.
Nicely done to y'all.
For the NASCAR Craftsman Truck Series race at Darlington, Ross Chastain picked up the win in an exciting fashion. Final restart. I was pulling for time and Jesse Mann to come out with the win for Thor Sport Racing to pick up their first win of the season. Led a ton of laps. That truck was so fast on the long run, but it is hard going against a NASCAR Cup Series driver with tons of experience. He's one of the most aggressive on restarts. And also,
Chastain's, he's been doing really good for
and
himself.
Also, he knows how to drive a NASCAR Craftsman Truck Series truck. He made it to the championship 4-1 year with Nice Motorsports and won multiple races. He knows how to get it done on those trucks. Second was Nick Sanchez. Third, Ben Rhodes. Repping my Ben Rhodes t-shirt today. Had a crew chief change earlier in the week. Finishes in the top five. Could be leading to something good. We'll see. Fourth, Christian Eckes. Fifth, Ty Majeski. Sixth, Chase Purdy. Seventh, Kobe Howard. Eighth, Taylor Gray. Ninth, Ty Dillon. And 10th, Tanner Gray. And now we are going to discuss the upcoming races for Formula One, NASCAR, and so forth. Formula One will be back on track for the Imola Romagna Grand Prix Sunday, May 19th at 9 o'clock a.m. The NASCAR Craftsman Truck Series. Xfinity Series, I am so sorry. NASCAR,
easy.
I know.
Easy.
NASCAR Xfinity Series, I normally have the Craftsman Truck Series before the Xfinity Series, but I flip-flopped it today. The NASCAR Xfinity Series race at Charlotte Motor Speedway was Saturday, May 25th at 1 o'clock p.m. And now the NASCAR Craftsman Truck Series.
There you go.
I know. They will be racing at the famous North Wilkesboro Speedway. That track is so historic. So
nice
much history
track.
With Dale Earnhardt
nice
Sr.,
track.
Jeff Gordon. I mean, that
Earnhardt.
Yep, exactly. That track is so special and goes way back into NASCAR
Gordon.
History. And the work that has been done at North Wilkesboro Speedway has been absolutely outstanding with renovating that racetrack. They also, last season, they had the NASCAR Craftsman Truck Series racing at North Wilkesboro Speedway and the NASCAR Cup Series All-Star Race, and it wasn't repaved. Well, for these coming races with the NASCAR Craftsman Truck Series and the All-Star Race with the NASCAR Cup Series, North Wilkesboro Speedway has a new paving on that racetrack. Fresh coat of paving.
What track was it where they had to drill a hole into it because there was a whole bunch of water beneath it? It was like bubbling up.
I have no idea.
I can't remember.
I know that Darlington, I'm trying to remember here.
I don't know why that popped into my head.
So I know that Darlington, the reason why that track is so unique, because this farmer didn't want to sell his farmland, so they had to build the track a certain way. And Daytona 500 and Daytona National Speedway, I should just say that. We're getting ready for the Daytona 500. When the Daytona National Speedway was built, there was a pond in the middle of the racetrack that the guy did not want to sell. The owner didn't want to sell. So, yeah, I don't really know, honestly. But, yeah. NASCAR Craftsman Truck Series race at North Wilkesboro will be Saturday, May 18th at 1:30 p.m. And now diving into the NASCAR Cup Series All-Star Weekend, Sunday, May 19th at 5:30 p.m. will be the NASCAR All-Star Open, which I believe that's the heat races and the drivers that weren't voted in to the All-Star race or trying to make the All-Star race, mainly rookies and some other drivers.
Kansas. Kansas Motor Speedway.
Kansas.
Sorry, a little tangent.
You're good.
There.
You're good. That's what the NASCAR All-Star Open is. So that'll be Sunday, May 19th at 5:30 p.m. And then lastly, the NASCAR Cup Series All-Star Race will be Sunday, May 19th at 8 o'clock p.m. And Mr. Penrod, that's it, man. That's all the news we have for today. And he's just, I don't know if he's in disbelief or he's ready, or he's just, I don't know. I have no idea. But yeah, man, that's it. That's all we have for today, so. I just would like to thank Mr. Jeremiah Penrod for being co-host on the All Gas and No Brakes radio show. We're going to dive right into the outro here. So let's do this thing, people. Let's do it. Let's get pumped up. Ladies and gentlemen, if you miss a live episode of the All Gas and No Brakes radio show, that's okay because you can go to audioboom.com and listen to an episode you may have missed. The All Gas and No Brakes radio show is on every Monday morning from 7:45 to 8:30 a.m. only on Indy's Giant 90.9, your station for variety. For Jeremiah Penrod, I'm Landon Nelson. Thank you for listening to the All Gas and No Brakes radio show. We'll see you later, Indianapolis. Have a fantastic day. Big Nelly out!